Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ach, we begin Perek Tashi, the ninth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Nisgemam, and the laws of when one's money damages and the saving is in the book of damages. We continue the theme of the previous Perakim, discussing in this Perek specifics and doubts as it relates to the monetary payments of Tam, which is that Mazik of Karen in the first few times. The Rambam begins Halacha Alf regarding what happens if the animal that is either damaged or gets damaged is a pregnant animal. As Rambam explains, behemu muberes, the pregnant animal shezik which damages, goy v'chatzi nezik mimeno umavlado. So that which the tam is liable, which the half of the damages, it collected from the animal and the child. So if let's say for some reason the animal's not around anymore, all of the half of the damages could be collected from the child. And the reason is neshuhu guf migufa, because the fetus is from the body of the mother. It was part of the animal when they gored. It was one animal. So therefore, Beitam, which only collects from Migufoi, could also collect from the child. Avotana Goylish, as you can put a contrast, let's say a rooster that damages, a hen, Ein Goyva Mibitza, so you cannot collect from the egg of the chicken, Neshabe Ein Migufoi, because the egg is not part of the body of the hen, Avol Mubdelz Mufreshim, and rather it's separated and disconnected from it, at least when it's in the stage of an egg, and therefore, that would not be able to collect it from as a tam. Halacha beis, mubera shenokra, regarding a pregnant cow that gored, the nimtzav lo de betzida. And now you find, however, when you come to see what happened by the tragedy, you see the fetus is on the side. Then you do it, now you don't know, imachal inokra yolda, that did it give birth before it gored, and therefore that the child had nothing to do with the goring, and therefore all of the half of the damages could only be collected from the cow itself. Maybe after the accident happened, after gore, then the child was born, and misham chatzinazik minapara. So then you could collect half of. So what's the case? What's the halacha? So that's Rambam said misham chatzinazik minapara. You could collect half the damages from the cow, but in the government of olid klum, and one cannot collect from the child at all, even in the situation when the cow is not here anymore. Until the victim brings proof that when they gored, it was pregnant. Because if someone wants to collect from someone else, and him is to come in the proof to bring. We don't know if it was born before or after the damages, and hence you don't know if you could collect from that child. The other way around. Let's say an ox gored a pregnant cow. Now you find the fetus, they're dead on the side. Now, but any dude don't know, did it miscarry before the accident happened, before the goring, and therefore the owner of the shor is not liable for the damages of the fetus? Maybe the miscarriage was because of the fact that it was gored, and therefore the owner of the ox is going to be liable of the chatzin nezek also of the uber. In other words, the half of the value of the fetus if the ox was a tam, or nezek shalom if it was a muid. So mishalom nezek apara, he has to pay for the damages of the cow, which that we know of. But the Einim Mishalom Nezek Abod does not have to pay for the damages of the child. Again, Shemitzim Echabel Abodai, because the one who's collecting, the victim, has to bring the proof that it was inside the cow when it was gored by his ox. Halacha Dalet. Nagach Paru Muberet V'Pila. Let's say it gored a pregnant cow and it caused a miscarriage. So it is liable for the damages of the fetus too. Now, Ein Shamed Pchas Paru B'Fnei Atzma. You don't evaluate the depreciation of the cow independently, meaning the difference of how much the cow was worth when it was alive and now that it's dead, and ubchas haval b'fnei atzmai, and depreciation of the child independently, meaning how much was the fetus worth when it was alive and now how much less when it's dead. No, you don't do each one independently. You evaluate how much was the cow worth when it was pregnant and healthy, and how much is it worth less it with its miscarried fetus, and you pay that depreciation, or half of that if it was a shor tam. Halacha hey. If let's say, actually, the victim, the cow, was owned by one person, but the fetus was owned by someone else, the person had sold the rights to the fetus to someone else. So, so the depreciation of the fat, meaning when the cow is pregnant, it gets fattier, and that's also considered as part of what was damaged. Because now that it's lost that pregnancy, it loses that fattiness. Shapachas guf hapara, which now the body of the cow has depreciated, because the fats get absorbed in the limbs, and the fetus has nothing to do with that. So because of that, that depreciation is labal hapara. That goes to the owner of the cow. Upchas hanapachas, Now, the depreciation of its inflation when the cow is pregnant, so it becomes inflated and it looks like a larger cow, and therefore its price, its value goes up. That's also part of what was damaged. That that is divided by the owner of the cow and the owner of the child, because the body of the child also increases the inflation. The hanefel, and of course the miscarried fetus, isha balavolad, is given those damages to the owner of the child. Halach above continues regarding if the defendant claims he doesn't know or he denies the claim of the plaintiff. As Rambam says, Halach above, shor shor yiroidif, achar shor achar. Let's say we saw one ox running after another ox, behuzak, and the ox that was running away got injured. Hanizik Eimer, the victim says, shor chahizik, your ox damaged my ox. Bezaimer, the other one says, any day, I don't know. Shem beselolok, I know it was running after, but maybe it fell on some rock and it hurt itself. So the one who's trying to collect, you're right, it's coming upon them to bring the proof. Now, even though the victim says, look, I definitively know that this is what I saw. And the defendant says, any day, I don't know. So, which generally, someone's definitive claim is stronger than someone's doubtful claim. Doesn't make a difference. Ultimately, how much is mechabel abraya? Now, let's say tahan hanizik vama. Let's say the victim claims and he says, look, you know definitively that your ox caused the damage. You're only saying you don't know to recluse yourself from payment. So the defendant has to make what's called a shavuos heses, a rabbinic oath, which is called heses from the word of being meses. It's like seduced by the sages to calm down the plaintiff. He has to swear any day that he doesn't know. Im ha'yamud. Now he has to make this oath if his shar was a shar mud, to say, I don't know, to be exempt from paying. But if his ox was a shar tam from the first few times, then potaf m'shavuos heses. He's exempt even from making this oath. Because even if he would admit on his own, there's no point in making him swear, because even if he would admit, Potter would be exempt. Why would he be exempt? He admits. Because the half of the damages which a shor tam, the owner, pays is a penalty. And when you agree to a penalty, you're exempt. It's only when they find you liable. So therefore, he's exempt from the shvu, because what's the point? Even if he would admit, he'd be exempt. Halach HaZayin continues regarding, if there's a doubt, what type of ox was it that damaged? Let's say there were two oxen running after one ox. Now there's witnesses that one of them damaged that victim ox. But the witnesses don't know which one of the two is caused the damage. And this was owned by two different people, these oxen. Well, this one says, Sharche Hizik, says your ox was the one that damaged. But the other one says, no, Sharche Hizik, it was your ox that damaged. So actually, they're both exempt because we can't prove. Now, let's say both of them were owned by one person, well then Chayav L'Sham, he would have to pay, obviously it's one of his, but it would be Meguf HaPochei Shebishneim, from the cheaper ox amongst the two of them, and therefore, if let's say all of the value of that ox is not worth half the damages, so the victim would lose out on the rest, because the Mazik could claim, he says, yeah, maybe it was the cheaper one that caused the damage. Now, V'mhoi Mo'adim, if let's say they both share a shvarim or mu'adim, then misham nezek shom l'chazer. Anyways, he has to pay the full damages from his own properties. It has nothing to do with which animal caused the damage. It doesn't make a difference. He has to pay nezek shalom, what's called min aliyah, from his own bank. Nothing to do with from the body of the animal. Now, loch ches, but when do we say this, that if the two oxen were owned by one person, he has to pay? Is it b'shashneh ha-shvarim oimdim? If we have the two oxen standing in front of us, avel meisech mehem, but if let's say one of them died subsequently, avel got lost, v'hoye ech mehem tam. Although the wording of the Rambam sounds like either one, but those who explain, if that one that got lost or died was a tam, although they're all both owned by one person, Pati's exempt, because he could tell the victim, bring proof that the one that's remaining is the one that damaged, and I'll pay you. Maybe the one that damaged was the one that got lost or died, and Tom only pays Megufa, and you can't collect from it because it's dead or because it got lost, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Halacha tes, hoyishnei ha-shvarim ha-reitvim. So let's say these two oxen that were running after the victim, echad gadol, one was big, which would be sufficient for the payment of the half the damages, v'echad katan, but the other one was small, which would not be sufficient for the amount owed of the chatzi nezek. Now, Hanizik, I mean, the victim is saying, okay, Godl Hizik, it was the larger one that damaged. But Mazik, I mean, the damager was saying, no, Kot Hizik, it was the smaller one that damaged. Or let's say, one was a tam and one was a mu'd. Hanizik, I mean, the victim is saying, mood hizik. Oh, the mood is what damaged, and therefore, you have to pay me the full damages. Ramazik, I mean, says, no, tam hizik. It was the tam the damage, and you only get half the damages, and you can only collect from the body of the ox that gored. If someone's trying to collect from his friend, it's incumbent upon them to bring proof. And moreover, as we'll see shortly in the Rambam, if the victim doesn't bring a proof, he actually doesn't even get what the mazik agreed to, because that's what's called tanachit mahidla b'sa'irim. If he claims wheat and he admits to barley, he's exempt even from the monetary value of the barley. And the reason for that is because the claimant is claiming that he owes him only the wheat and doesn't owe him the barley. And therefore, it's like he's admitting that he's not owed that, and therefore, that would exempt the defendant. Now, let's say there was no definitive proof that this damaged his ox. Ella, but edim eidim, but the witnesses are testifying she'echad mishnei elu hizik, that it was one of these two that damaged. So, mishal hamazik k'maisha emir. So then, the mazik has to pay like he says. Now, this is not similar to the case of tonachid mahadla b'sa'irim, because there's no witnesses at all. He would talk about where there are witnesses. So we know definitively. So it'll be like he says that it was the cheaper of the two. Now, Vim Toinan is, now let's say the victim says, no, Shati Dea Vadish is a Hizig Bifonecha. No, you know for sure the one that damaged is the one that's in front of you. For example, let's say it was Tam and Mu'ud. And the Nizik claims, you know for sure that was the Mu'ud that damaged. Hareya Mazik Nishba Shavu'a Satar. So in that situation, the Mazik has to swear a biblical oath, like every Maidib Mixes when he admits to partial liability, in contrast to when he denies the whole thing, which that's, as we said, Allah above, only has to swear rabbinic oath, Shavu'a's Heses. The reason for that is because the victim is not saying that the Mazik himself knows is, in other words, he's saying that he's not going to be exempt from a Shavu'a because he's saying that I'm claiming the bigger thing and you're admitting to partial of that. So he has to swear on behalf that he's denying, whichever one it is, of the case we mentioned. And he has to pay to what he admitted. Because ultimately, he admitted to half, and the other half, because it's Moed B'Miktis, he has to swear on the other half. A biblical oath, which has different qualities than that of a Shavu'as Heses, in regards to its obligations. Now let's say there was two victims. Echad gadol ve'echad katan. One large cow and one small one. Vamazikin, and the damager also, echad gadol ve'echad katan, one was larger, one was smaller. Now, hanizik, I mean, the victim is saying, gadol hizik es hagadol. The larger ox damaged the larger cow. And therefore, the body of the larger mazik is going to be sufficient to pay up the half of the damages of the larger cow, in contrast, if it was from the smaller ox. And he's saying, va'katan es hakatan. And it was the smaller ox that damaged the smaller cow. And from that body, I'll be able to collect the half the damages of the smaller one. But Vamazik, I mean, the damaging party's owner is saying, Loiki, no, it's not the case. El katan hizik es hagadol. No, it was the smaller ox that damaged the larger cow, and they're only going to be able to collect from the smaller ox the amount of half the damage of the large one, even though the chatzin hizik of the larger cow is going to be more than all the value of the smaller ox. You lose out the rest. And v'gadol es hakatan. Yeah, it was the larger ox that damaged the smaller cow, which that you'll be able to collect the chatzin hizik from there. Or let's say, shoy echad tam echad mu'ud. One of them, the mazikin's shvarim, one was a tam, one was a mu'ud. Hanizik, the damaging party, the damaged party says, hamu'ud, hizik is a gadol. It was a shvarim mu'ud that damaged the larger cow, which, great, then you owe me all from your property the entire value of the large cow. But tam hizik is a katan, and it was a shvar tam that damaged the smaller cow. The mazik, the damaging party says, no, tam hizik is a gadol. It was only the tam that damaged the larger cow, and therefore you're only going to be able to take that one. And even though it's not going to be worth the value of the chatzin nezik, you're going to lose out the rest. Because the tam only gets chatzin nezik, and it's only megufay, that damaged the larger one. So you're only getting chatzin nezik. Vamud hizik is a katan. And it was the shar hamud that damaged the smaller one. And you can only collect my property the value of the smaller one. Here also, in all these cases, someone's trying to collect from his friend, it's upon him to bring the proof. Now, let's say there's no definitive proof. So the damaging party is going to be exempt, even, like we mentioned before, from what he admitted to. Why? So the Rambam explains the Mazik, then what could this be compared to? To someone that's claiming from his friend that you owe me wheat. He admits to barley. Yes, he has to make a rabbinic oath because he's denying the wheat. But Upata Avmid Meisarim is exempt even from the value of the barley that he admitted to, because the claimant is basically admitting to the defendant that you don't owe me that. Commissioner's Bar, Melchus Tarin, like we're going to explain the laws of claims in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud. Now, Vim Tafas on Nizik, let's say the damaged party grabs. Hari Mishalom La Cotton Min Agadu B'La Gadul Min Akotten. So, then once he grabbed from his estate, so then the Mazik will be obligated to pay. He'll have to pay for the small one from the big one, and for the big one from the small one, like the Mazik admitted to. Meaning, here, a unique halacha, at least what the Mazik admitted to, not what the Nizik is claiming, even if he grabs, but even though we said that he's exempt because of Tanam Echid Noed L'Vesayim, but if the victim grabbed, then he'll have to pay at least like how much the Mazik himself admitted to. But if he didn't grab, but then he doesn't collect anything from the Mazik at all, like we said, because even what he admitted to, the claimant is as if admitting that he doesn't owe it to him. Halachi Beis discusses regarding partnership in the damage which relates to the shar that's goring, as follows. Shar shenagach. So if an ox gores, v'chazav nagach shar achar, and then it gores another ox. So, hadei anizik harishin v'abalam, what comes out interesting is that the first victim with the owner are shutafin by. They were essentially partners when the damage the second time, as Ram illustrates Kitzat Hasso. So shar shav masam, let's say you have an ox that's worth 200 zuz. Shar nagach shar shav masam, which gored an ox worth 200 zuz, vein hanavei liyaf akulam. The dead animal wasn't worth a penny. It wasn't worth anything. So that's a loss of 200. So nizik neitel meya. So the victim takes 100, like we talk about tam, which is two elements. One that gets chatzi nizik, which is only 100 out of the 200. And additionally, it gets ownership because the collection is from the body of the shur itself. So the victim gets 100. Ubala shur meya. Now the owner of the ox is left with the remaining 100. Now when the chazer benagach shur acher shav mesayim, when it goes and it gores another ox worth 200 zuz. So in this case, the two partners are liable, which is the original owner and the first victim, to pay the total of the half the damages, which is 100 zuz. Now, in this case, the dead animal wasn't worth anything. So the last victim takes 100, which is half of the value of his animal. Now, the victim before him, with the owner, they each take 50 zuz, because the owner and the first victim, they divide the remaining 100, which is 50 each. Now, let's say it goes a third time, and it gores an ox worth 200, and the dead animal is not worth anything. So here also, the last victim is going to take 100, because they're all responsible for his damages, which was 200, and he gets half of that, which is 100. Now, the victim that was before him, he collects 50, because his portion of the ox was 100, in other words, which was half the ox. So therefore, he's responsible in the payment of half the damages by 50%, which is 50 zuz. And he remains now with 50 out of his 100. Now, the first victim with the owners, they take esem v'chamisha, each one of them takes 25 zuz, because with the remaining 50, they divide amongst themselves, which is equal, because their portion in the ox is equal, and they each take 25. And that, and along this path is how they continue to divide accordingly, which obviously has to be talking about either in a situation like the Ram mentioned in Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, that the Shur Mud goes back to being a Shur Tam again, or it was Mud for, let's say, Shvarim, but it gored some other type, which is a Tam for, because if not, you wouldn't be able to have this Halacha, because after three gorings, which we already spoke about, it becomes a Mud. And this whole halacha is only applicable to a shor tam, which is collecting and having rights in the ox itself, not that you just owed by the owner of the mazik. So it would be a situation where it goes back to being a tam, and then this would continue indefinitely. Halacha Yud Gimel continues regarding if the victim grabs the animal that damaged. Nizik shetafas behemish hazik. If the victim grabs the animal that caused damage, ligvo is chatzi nizka magufa, because he wanted to collect half the damages from the body of the shor tam itself. Now that he took the animal, he's essentially like a paid guardian, because he's doing it for his own personal benefit, for the laws of damages, which, just like there are certain liabilities for a paid guardian for when, if there's damages, so too here. And therefore, if the animal goes out and damages, the first victim, who he had grabbed the shor tam, he's liable for the damages because he's responsible to watch the shor. And the owners are exempt. Ketzer how so? Let's say you have an axe worth 200 zuz that gored and caused a loss of 200. Now, which fasan is ligvus mimin the mayor? So the victim went to grab the mazik, the shartam, to collect 100 out of the 200 that he's owed. And then when he had it, v'chazem nagach, the axe went and gored again. V'hifsu b'mei v'abam, and that would cause a loss of 140. So hareya nizika achrin mishtam shivim. So the last victim, he collects 70, which is half of the damages of his 140. Then nizika rishon, now the first victim, shetafasai, that had grabbed it, mishtalam moisim nizika, he collects the remaining amount of his damages, which he was really owed 100, but already 70 has to give payout to the last victim. So b'hush loishim. So that is 30 that he collects, because he was responsible for the 70 that damaged the last victim. And the owner, his portion in the ox remains as it was, which is 100. Although we had said in previous cases that they're both going to be responsible. Here he's not, because the nizik had taken it. And mechikiyaz was anything similar like that, where the last one's going to get what he's responsible for, the owner's going to remain what he has, and that last victim who grabbed it, he's going to have the responsibility, and it's going to be his loss. Halacha Yudalet continues regarding when there's two oxen that damage each other, how does the payment work out? So shnei shvarim tamen. If you have two oxen that were both unexpected to gore, they were in the first three times, shachavlu zebezeh, which they actually both injured each other. So halach is mishalman b'meisr chatzi nezik. So the payment is going to be by the excess of the half the damages, meaning each one is chayev chatzi nezik in the other one. So whichever one has the bigger damages will pay that amount to the other one. Let's say shnei mu'adim, let's say both oxen are mu'adim, a mu'id v'adim, let's say a mu'id and a person injured each other. Shechavu zebezeh, misham b'maizeh nezik shalom. So whatever the excess is of one over the other in the nezik shalom, he'll pay. Let's say echad tam echad mu'id, let's say one ox is actually tam, one's actually mu'id. So if it's mu'id b'tam, in other words, if the damage that the mu'id had caused damage was more than the value of the chatzi nezik that the tam had done, so misham b'maisin nezik shalom, so he pays whatever's left over in his full damages liability. Let's say tam b'mu'id, let's say actually the chatzi nezik of the tam was more than the nezik shalom of the mu'id, so misham b'maisin chatzi nezik, he pays by the excess half the damages, as Ram illustrated kitzat hauso. So shur tam shehifsid b'shur tam acher. So let's say the first case, when you have these two innocent oxen that cause a loss in the other one, shavamana. So the first one caused a damage of 100. V'chazizeh ha'acharin, then the second one went and got back at the first ox, v'hifsid b'rishon shavabam, and caused a loss of 40. So one was 100, one was 40. Hari bal harishon, misham le bal ha'acharin shleshim. So the owner of the first ox is going to pay the owner of the second ox 30 zuz, which is half the difference. The difference is 60, and chatzi of that is 30. Let's say ha'yishnei mo'adim, let's say both of them mu'it. Then, the owner of the first one has to pay the full amount, which is the excess, which is 60. Let's say Harishan Mu'ud. Let's say the first one, the damage, was actually a Sharam Mu'ud, and therefore he's chayef for the 100 zuz that he caused the damage. But the second ox was actually a tam. It is only chayef for the 40 that he did. He's going to chayef only 20 zuz. So, so the owner of the first ox is going to pay 80, because 100 minus 20 is going to be 80. Let's say Harishan Tam, let's say the first one was a Tam, and therefore it's not going to be chayav for the 100 zuz, it's going to be chayav only for 50 zuz. V'achar mu'id, and the second one was a mu'id, and therefore it's chayav for the entire 40 zuz. Well, Bal Harishan Mishal Masar, then the owner of the first one, 50 minus 10, 50 minus 40 is going to be 10, he's going to be paid 10. What the Rambam is coming to tell us is that you don't calculate that, okay, first let's cancel out your damage for your damage, even if it's a mu'id and a Tam, and that the mu'id would pay only the excess damages, and that would be, if the first one is a mu'id and the second one is a tam, that then the mu'id would pay only 60. No, the halacha is not like that. Rather, he's going to pay 80, and that is the 100 that was the nezik shalom, minus the chatzi nezik that the tam had done, which is 20, it's going to make 80. We don't say, okay, let's first cancel out the damages one with the other, which is not really the case, because mu'id is nezik shalom, and the tam is chatzi nezik. So you don't say, okay, let's first cancel out the damage. You have 40 and you have 100 and we're going to come to a different amount. No, we, like the Ram said, that we calculate the meiser with each one's appropriate hezek, and that's how you calculate what the one is going to be more than the other.